Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, that we are in the house of the Lord again today, and it is time to hear the word of the Lord. And we know, Lord, that when you speak, the Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. And you also said, Lord, this is the man to whom I will look, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Now, Lord, we know that your word is a sharp, two-edged sword, and it brings life, also judgment, but life especially for those that hear and do according to the word of the Lord. Therefore, Lord, we give you the praise and glory today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to preach a different kind of subject today, but I want everybody to listen because my topic is a serious one, a serious subject today. And it is the handwriting is on the wall. So handwriting on the wall is my message today. And I'm going to start, and listen, God, you know, I'm going to bring an indictment by the grace of God against this generation in this message. So I want everybody to pay attention. Now, I'm going to start here in the story of Daniel chapter 5. There's a young king, Belshazzar, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, and in his time, well, you know, he thought that he would just desecrate the temple, desecrate all of the temple vessels that they brought and so forth from the, you know, brought from, you know, took from Israel and so forth. And in spite of all the things that happened to his father Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and God turned his heart into a beast and so on, and dealt with him because he didn't humble himself. You know, this young man who followed after his father in the throne did not humble himself either. You know, so he did all kinds of things, and you know, so one day when he was feasting with his lords and told his, you know, all these people to go and his princes to go and bring all the vessels that they took out of the land of Judah and so forth, and bring them, and they were, you know, just doing all kinds of things, reveling in drunkenness and making mockery of the things of God and so forth. Then came this hand, you know, and wrote on the wall. Some of you know the story. Daniel chapter 5. And the whole chapter deals with that, but I am going to read only a few verses here. I don't want to read all of it. I'm going to start at verse 24. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from the Lord. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many shekel offering. This was the writing that came on the wall. Now, nobody could read that writing. They called the soothsayers, magicians, everybody. They couldn't figure it out. So finally, they called Daniel and you know, this man said, well, I remember that the spirit of, you know, wisdom is upon you and so forth. You know, you did great things in my father's kingdom. So tell me what it means. And Daniel told him, he said, look, you knew all the things that came upon your father. But, you know, instead of you learning from that, you know, you didn't. And you continued to be stiff-necked, you know, and not humble yourself before the Lord. So here's what God's doing. The judgment is coming against you. This is the interpretation. Now, many, he said, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. And he said, tekel. It means that you are weighed in the balances and you are found wanting. And then he said, peris, or offering. It means your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. You know, and so forth. And he began to tell him these things. The judgment is come because you did not humble yourself against, you know, in the sight of the Lord and so on. So, That's the famous story where we saw the handwriting on the wall of the Bible, you know. And since the title of my message is taken from that, I thought I would read that story. But I have a lot more to say than just that story. I just read that for the title of the sermon. Now, what I want to talk about today, the Lord said to me, and I'm going to make it plain in this church today. We're going to put it on the internet for everybody to listen to it. that God has said for three transgressions of America and for four, he will not spare. And the handwriting is on the wall. Amen? I know that's sobering, but you say America, well, I don't know about other lands. So, you know, the whole world, of course, you know, that's, you know, but because I live in this country and I often watch and pray for this country and so forth, you know, and I've seen tremendous evil in the land. Now, I want you young people to listen to me today, because I'm going to expose some sins here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. So you listen to this. You know, there's a story in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And I want to read from verses 20 and 21. You can read the whole story. It's a long story. But I'm not going to read all of it. You know, but there is something that happened. You know, there was wickedness in the land. And the you know, God has this, you know, watchers and reporters, you know, among the angels that go forth and come back and report things to the Lord. It's not like the Lord needs anybody to tell him anything, but he likes to give the angels something to do, you know, so that they might feel useful. So these angels, they go and come back and report to the Lord, and they've been bringing an evil report all the time against this land of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, so finally, the Lord said, well, I'm going to go check it out for myself. You know, so yeah, that's how the story went. So he came, you know, he came down in the form of a man. He did. And he had two angels with him and came down there and so forth. And there was, you know, they were met by, you know, by Abraham and so on. And, you know, after a while, you know, the Lord revealed to Abraham what he was going to do. He said, well, you know, that land and all that. Verse 20 of Genesis 18. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, verse 21, he said, therefore I will now go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is common to me, and if not, I will know. And well, as the story went, of course, you know, God ended up destroying that place. You know, Abraham tried to plead for the place, he bargained with the Lord for several souls, and he said, look, if you can have just 50 souls in there, will you spare the place? The Lord said, yeah, 45, yeah, 40, yeah, 35, yeah, 25, and so on. Finally, you know, God couldn't even find 10 souls in that place, you know, so, and then one day, God rained the angels, you know, after they pulled Lord out, they rained fire and brimstone upon that place. And even those angels that went down there, you can read the rest of the story in Genesis 19. You know, when they went down there and so forth, some of the strangest things, you know, that we saw in this Bible for the first time, you know, happened. You know, and, you know, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were so lewd and evil and corrupt in their mind, you know, and they would stop at nothing. They would stop at nothing, you know, and they wanted, and so when these angels went down there, you can read the story, they, you know, and Lot, you know, they came into his house and so forth, and the men of the Sodom came in and said, bring those men, you know, bring those men. I was referring to the angels, because they were strangers in the land. Bring them out to us, so that we can do to them what we want. You know, this was the very reason that God came to, you know, send those angels to destroy them, and they were still continuing even when the angels came, and they wanted to do this, their lewd acts, even with the angels. Well, it's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. You say, why are you preaching like that? It's in the Bible. You know, so, anyway, God destroyed that place. He did destroy that place, you know, and barely saved Lot and his family, just barely. And the angel of the Lord told them, look, when you get out of the place, I can't do anything until you leave. So he said, get out of this place. Get out of this place already. You know. So finally, when they left, he warned them. He said, look, don't even forget this place. Don't let it even come to your mind. Because I'm going to destroy it. Don't even look back. get out of this place and run for your life and don't look back. He told them, you know, and they say, yeah, we won't, you know, let's just go over here, you know, we're going to, you know, going to destroy all the cities. And the Lord said, well, you know, let me go over to this one city over here and don't destroy that one. Say, fine, go, but don't look back. But his wife looked back. See, she looked back. Even after the angel had warned them, and she became, you know, a pillar of salt, we are told in the Bible. She just disintegrated right there. And, you know, it was like just eating up like that and became just a pillar of salt, you know. So it could have been atomic radiation. It could have been anything. We don't know what exactly, fire and brimstone that God poured upon that place. But that city was destroyed because of its wickedness. Now, here is the serious part of this message today. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, I am going to read. And you can read the whole chapter, and maybe I will read the whole chapter. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over this city to draw near. And every man, you know, with his destroying weapon in his hand. You know, so God has this, you know, holy watchers. God has these principalities and powers, just like the devil has. The devil has no originality. Anything that the devil has, he has, is a copycat. He tries to copy the things of God. You know, so God has these principalities and powers over cities and nations and all this. You know, so in this place, he called for those, you know, that had, you know, that he put over the sea. He said, come now, because he's about to destroy this city. You know, so behold, six men came from the way higher of the higher gate and toward the north. And every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And among them was a man that was clothed with a linen, and he had a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood by the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, my goodness, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man that was clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his hand, by his side. And he said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst of it. So God is going to set apart the ones that are crying for the abominations. Now, there's a lot of abominations going on in this land, but I don't see any saints, I don't see any churches, I don't see even any preachers on television crying against these abominations. You know, but God is going to set apart those who are sighing and crying against these abominations. And he's going to say, mark them and set them aside. And then to the others, he said, go after him. After this one has marked the ones that are crying and sighing and whose souls are vexed daily with all these abominations, then he said to the others, go after him and smite the city. Let your eye not spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old and the young and the maids and the little children and the women. Now come near any man and so forth. But he said, but don't come near any man upon whom is the mark of the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. But he said, go through and begin to smite. And he said, listen to this, verse 6. And begin at my sanctuary. Hello, folks. Begin at the church. And I want to say this to all these apostate and lukewarm churches that are in the land that will not cry against the iniquity and so forth like that. The judgment of God will begin at the churches. How many of you are still with me? That's right. So I want to come out here today and wash all men's blood off my hands and proclaim this. And I wish I had a voice on television, and I will proclaim to everybody that except you repent. You know, there was a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 13, you know, around verses 1 through 5. You know, and so they told Jesus, he said, look, you know, there was a tower in Siloam that fell upon some people and it killed them, you know, and so forth. And there was this that happened and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, look, do you suppose that those people upon whom that tower fell, that they were sinners more than all the others? You think so? He said, but except you all repent, you shall all likewise perish. He told them that. And it was a warning. Now I'm going to bring a stern warning this morning. And there are some things that you need to stay away from. I'm going to be talking about it and exposing the works of darkness. How many of you are still with me here this morning? That's right. you know. So now, begin at my sanctuary, he said. You know, so we see that you know, some apostate churches and various things, they are going to have real problems very soon. Now I want to talk about the sin of homosexuality. And let me come out and say point blank, homosexuality is a sin. And that is the reason why God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you young folks, listen to me. Now, most of the older folks here don't have any problem. They understand that. But some of the young folks are confused. So let me set the record straight for you young folks today. Because all of these things that you see on television, and I don't care if it is the president that comes out and so forth like that, it is because their eyes are blinded, and it is because God wants the cup of iniquity to be full, so that judgment may come upon this nation. That's right. I love this nation just like anybody else. And I pray for this nation. I pray for our leaders, because the Bible commanded us to do so. But if they come out and point blank oppose all that is righteous, then God will say the same thing. Mene, mene, tekel, and ophasi. That's right. Because the handwriting is again on the wall. Listen to me, folks. The sin of homosexuality, if it was a sin then, it is still a sin now. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed anything. You know, if he said, if he condemned it then, he condemned it today. Listen to this in Leviticus chapter 18. And let me read this to you. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verse 22. Now, you can take time and read this whole chapter of Leviticus if you want, and see all of the various things that God condemns. There are so many sins, and many of these things are found in this land today, and not only in America, but also, you know, all over the world. But, you know, I love this nation. That's why I'm praying that, you know, people will hear this kind of message and repent. Amen? That's right. You know, because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, so God loves this nation, so, you know, he wants us to speak and cry aloud. You know, there's a scripture that says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Well, you know, I wish more preachers would blow the trumpet and sound the alarm and bring, you know, the warning. You know, John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Amen. And I want to tell you something, folks. The axe is laid to the root of the trees in this nation. And except people begin to repent, swift judgment is determined. That's right. You know, so now listen to this. In the book of Leviticus chapter 18, let me read from verse 22. I want everybody to listen to this scripture. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, well, there's a few things in the Bible that the Bible calls abomination. This is one of them. This is sin of homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I hear in this nation now, you know, they are now celebrating homosexuality, you know, and so forth. They are just celebrating it now. Well, I tell you something, folks. This is the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Now, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. There's also bestiality that's going on in this nation and all kinds of things. Even I can't even say the things here in the church that they're doing in this nation. I can't say, you know. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast and so forth. You know, look. Read it all. Do not defy yourself in any of these things. For in all these things, the nations were defiled, which I cast out before you. This was the reason why God destroyed many nations, and every other nation, the nations that are turned away from God shall be turned into hell. Amen? Amen. Any other nation that go against the word of God, and so, you know, God handpicked this nation. God loved this nation just like Israel. God loved and put the gospel and put people that will preach the word of God in this nation. And the founders of this nation, they, you know, they brought out the word of the Lord and so forth. And God we trust and all that, you know, and they, you know, and as long as this nation follow the ways of God, you know, then it's good. But I tell you what, even history will tell you that, you know, they're way past the cycle of civilization. It's about time to change. But, you know, God, because of his long suffering, has had the cycle of grace and long suffering and so forth, you know. But when they begin to provoke God to his face, you know, And when the preachers will not say anything against it, then finally God will say, well, I want you all go down there and pull your swords out and begin at my sanctuary. And don't let your eyes spare. And begin to take them out. You know, that's right. You say God can do that? Well, yeah, because our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Hebrews 12:29. God is a consuming fire. People have forgotten that. You know, they think that, you know, because the Lord said, you know, I am the Lord, the merciful God, great and plenteous in mercy, abundant in goodness and truth, and all that, you know. And they say, well, the Lord, and so forth. Well, yeah, he's all that. But the Lord also says, he that hates the Lord to his face, God will in no way acquit. He will no way acquit the sinner, but he will plead his judgment against them. The only salvation is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, there are some people that are doing this thing ignorantly in unbelief because their eyes are blinded. They couldn't know, they didn't know any different. They don't know their right from their left, you know. And God will have mercy, and if they come to the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. But let it not even be once mentioned among the church, because you all ought to know better. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so also read Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. It says, and if a man shall also lie with mankind, now that's, I don't know how else you can put it. If a man shall lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon their heads. This is how bad it was in the olden days, you know. Well, God, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus paid that ultimate price for every sin, including the sin of homosexuality. Praise God. So they don't have to be put to death anymore, but they must repent. Hallelujah. I believe that those people, they need deliverance. And I believe that God can save them and God can help them. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, in fact, every other sin, you know, is just the same as bad. But these are the things that make God, you know, the Bible says that, you know, God is against sinners, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, you know, and all these things. This is, you know, this is the thing where, you know, because people take the image of God and they screw it up, you know, and so forth, and God will not have any part of it, you know, and, you know, finally God said, look, I've had it to here, you know, and go down there and wipe them out. You know, so that those things were done in the olden days, for example, so that we can learn from them. But our people are not learning from them today. They just want to, people are getting bolder and bolder. And do you know what is happening, folks? The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, what will happen? The love of many shall wax cold. Now, believers everywhere, their passion for the Lord, that wax cold. You can't get anybody that's fired up for the Lord anymore, because there is iniquity everywhere, you know. And Jesus said, well, except the days were shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, because he's going to send judgment and wipe them out. But for the elect's sake, hallelujah, yeah. Praise God. You know, there are elect even among those people that God is going to bring out, you know. But they must repent and they must come to the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. There's also other sins that we've seen, you know, that's just wild in the land. There's all kinds of things that we see in the news, you know, and here and so forth, you know. But, you know, that's the reason why God's going to bring. Now, this whole Leviticus 18 is full of so many things. Incest is there. All kinds of things is there, you know, that God condemns, you know. And things, immorality in the family and so forth, condemns it all. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Leviticus 18 and verse 17. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. You know, so it's like the man is married to the woman and then, you know, also trying to have something with the daughter. You know, that's not going to happen. God condemns it. He said, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Thou shalt not take her son's daughter and her daughter's daughter to uncover their nakedness, and all these things, you know. So there's a lot of things here, you know, in these chapters that God hates. So you better be careful, folks. Amen.
Amen.
And not only that, look, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And reproving them is what I'm doing here today. Because the church, many saints are saying, well, we don't partake, but they are not reproving them. They say, well, you can't judge anybody. No, we must judge the sin. Amen? Amen. God doesn't hate anybody, but he hates the sin. Praise God. That's why I want young folks, especially because this young generation, I've heard them, they say they don't like to condemn anything. They don't like to judge anybody. Anything anybody does, any of their friends do, that's all okay, and so on. Well, that's not okay. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. It is not okay. Listen to this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16. It is not okay at all. What it is okay is for you to go back to the old ways. Hallelujah. He says, thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Amen. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. So the good old way is the way that is good. Amen. Not the way that this world is turning to now. So you young folks, you know, never get swayed into all those things. I'm going to show you the end of the people that do those things and all the things that God, you know, brought out in the Bible for our examples. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude anyhow. The book of Jude, let me read from verses 5 through 8. He says, verse 5. I will put you therefore in remembrance, though ye once knew this, so I'm putting everybody in remembrance today, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Or I should say, well, the Lord may save the people and so forth like that, and I mean, and all the, you know, promise all these great things, and then so, and they come into the churches, and then they don't follow the way of righteousness, God may afterward destroy them. You know, praise God. Because the Bible says it very clearly in the book of Ezekiel, you know, it talks about it and so forth. And in Jeremiah, they told us all these things that, look, a righteous man, if they forsake their righteous ways and then go back into sin and so forth, and they die in their sin, you know, their blood will be upon their head, you know, and so on. You know, but if the unrighteous also forsake his way and turn to the Lord, he shall have mercy. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So, Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And the angels, we kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. God has reserved them unto everlasting chains, unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. He did that even for angels that left their first estate in the old, you know, great, great, great time, even before Adam and so on. You know, and look at what he did even for the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, they are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, all these things that are happening, you know, today, they've happened before, and God didn't spare them then. He's not going to spare it now. Amen? Amen. Now, God is long-suffering. You know, and just because God is long-suffering, people think that they can continue in all these, you know, things that they are doing. Well, there is a time coming, and now is, that the judgment, the axe will be laid to the root of the trees, and judgment will begin at the very house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, these people, you know, the Bible says their sins and their judgment, you know, have been pending, but it will no longer linger. You can read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. It says their judgment of all time, you know, it's the, you know, God, you know, their judgment is lingering on, and God is about to bring this judgment swiftly. That's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. You know, and God turned the cities, you know, he said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, this is the same thing, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5. And he spared not the whole world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, and all that, you know, and so forth. And then verse 6, he said, and he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, and so forth, to make an example for those who should afterward live ungodly. If God did all those things then, Don't nobody think that they are going to escape now if they go after the same things that God once overthrew cities for. You know, so now let me bring this indictment, you know, to this nation from the Word of God. From the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few verses. Well, you can read the whole chapter on your own, but let me start at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, that's how people's hearts get darkened. Because when they know God, you know, most people in this nation know something about God and so on, but they choose not to follow the ways of God. You know, they'd rather do, you know, some other thing. And, you know, it's just amazing. Everywhere you look on television now, you know, every week, you know, somebody else comes out to celebrate this so-called lifestyle. You know, I don't know what they call it, you know, and so on. But I tell you something, except they repent, the judgment of God is swift. But not only for those who are in those things, but for those that glory in those things. You know, some people actually come out and make, you know, they celebrate that, you know. So, now listen to this. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, Romans 1:22, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of like corruptible birds and beasts and so forth. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. Amen? Between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God also gave them up to vile affections. For even their women, now homosexuality is not only between man and man, it's also woman and woman. You know, Even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, I might even say women with women, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God has also given them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Wow. And being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, murder, envy, debate, deceit, all these things, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, boasters, proud, and so on, you know, even disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, you know, unmerciful, all these things, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, yet they do it anyway, you know, not only do so, but have pleasure in them that do the same. You know, so this scripture is condemning not only those who do it, but anybody else who will celebrate them for doing it. Amen? Because some people are actually celebrating and congratulating. Some new homosexual person comes out, instead of people saying you need deliverance, you know, they are now celebrating him as if he has achieved some great thing. Can you imagine the world that we are living in? Folks? But listen to chapter 2 of Romans. Now, this is for you religious folks, people. Now, not necessarily for this church, you know, because we put these things on the internet. I hope somebody will listen to it. That's why I speak like this, you know. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For in whereso you judge, thou condemnest thyself, because you do exactly the same thing. You know, there are some lukewarm apostate churches, you know, where we've seen on television and some even mega preachers and so forth. You know, they preach one thing, but they do something else. You know. But their sins will find them out, say the Lord. Amen? Amen. Their sins will find them out, saith the Lord. That's right. You know. And all those preachers and so forth, you know, that are not holding, you know, the word of righteousness, God hasn't sent them. They are at best angels of light. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. You know, because a minister must be a minister of righteousness, first of all. That's number one. Righteousness must be the first thing that we must preach. Because the scepter of his throne is a scepter of righteousness. And the path to his throne is the paths of righteousness. That's why the psalmist said, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 2 of Romans 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou, when you judge others and do the same thing, you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Folks, you will not. You know, so there's a stern warning here for everybody today. You know, and at the end of the day, when it is all said and done, you know, people are finally going to be able to say, righteous and true are thy judgments, O God, because thou hast judged the great whore, which has caused all the world to go abhorring after idolatry and other gods and strange flesh and all so forth. You know, and America is right smack in the middle of that, you know. So you better watch out. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 19. You know, many nations are actually following, you know, they think America is the, you know, leader and so forth. You know, so, well, America is the leader when they are staying with the gospel. Amen?
Amen,
amen, folks?
Amen.
When they are preaching the gospel of deliverance. That's gospel that is the power of God through Jesus Christ for salvation. Then they can be the leader and so forth. I don't know. But when they go in this other way, the way, you know, the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, I tell you something, folks. God is not a respecter of any man. Neither is God a respecter of any nation. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, so, well, praise God for the freedom of speech. Amen?
Amen.
Some people have the freedom of speech to say all these wild things. Well, I have the freedom of speech also to declare the gospel.
Amen.
And to say that the handwriting is on the wall.
Amen.
That's right. And I'll say it anywhere. You know, I'm not going back down from anybody about that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because God is fixing to judge all unrighteousness in flaming fire. Coming in judgment against all works of unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. Now listen to this. The book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard the voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power be unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at their hand. You know, I tell you something, folks. You know, the day of reckoning is coming. And when God's judgment is handed down, nobody will be able to say anything else but true and righteous are your judgments, O God. Amen. Amen, folks. God is going to judge this nation and every other nation where, you know, they do not hold the truth of God, you know, but, you know, believe in a lie and all these things. But God, because, you know, so that their iniquity, the cup of iniquity may come to the full. You know, that's why these things happened and God allowed it, you know, so that judgment may be swift. You know, but what is the purpose of the children of God? We are supposed to be the light. The Bible says, among this crooked and perverse generation, ye should shine as lights in the world. Amen, folks?
Amen.
So you young folks, don't let anybody tell you that is okay. You know, for man with man, woman with woman, all this stuff. This is abomination. From the beginning, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Adam and Eve. Amen. I like the sound of that. God, it wasn't Adam and Steve, folks. Was Adam and Eve. Have you ever thought that it is only human beings that are so corrupt and so vile You can't see nature doing that stuff, you know. But human beings, because they choose not to hold the concept of God, and they just want to debase themselves, you know. But I tell you what, God will destroy them that destroy the temple of the Lord. Because this temple, this body, he made to be the temple of the Lord. But God will destroy all works of unrighteousness. Praise ye the Lord. So what is our duty? Our duty is to shine as light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. The problem with Christians today is they light their candle and they put it under the bushel. Or they don't even light the candle at all. You know? And all these people are coming out of their closet. Well, Christians better come out of their closets too.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
We don't be a secret Soviet Christian agent. Don't be operating in stealth mode. You know, some I heard some of these young people say, you know, stealth. Don't operate in no stealth mode. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
You know, you need to be the light that is shining in darkness. You must turn on. How do you combat darkness? You turn on the light. Amen. When you go into a room and it's all dark, the first thing you do is you reach for the light switch and you turn on the light. That's how you combat darkness, is by turning on the light. And we must let the light shine in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to read you this prophecy. This was written by Neil Frisbee. He was my pastor for many years. He used to write these things he called scrolls. Some of you have heard of it. He wrote these things he wrote this particular one in 1970. Listen to this. And he said, new dimensions in colors and television. He said, new use of supersonic waves and so forth. And he began to talk of some other things. He said, sin will be unbelievable. It will bring the reappearing of the sodomites. Homosexuality will be taught and encouraged in education. This was written in 1970. He says, homosexualities and homosexuals will plague the backsliding churches. He said, it will even reach greatly even unto the Pentecostal church organizations. This was written in 1970. And he said, all this I saw, he saw it in a vision, and more. He said, men will marry men. Women will marry women in unprecedented proportions. For those of you whom I want to know, and these scrolls that he wrote, this was on scroll 7, you know. He wrote it. You can check it out yourself. I'm not making it up. I have it right here. And I'm just reading from it. In 1970, men will marry women. I mean, men will marry men. Women will marry women. Unprecedented proportions. But he also wrote and said, when you see these things, then God will send the last great revival. Amen. Hallelujah. The last revival, the great outpouring that we've been waiting for. He said it will happen in the time of unparalleled corruption in the world. Hallelujah. That's right. And so, you know, and it's already happening, folks, because this right here, this message right here is revival, folks. Because revival starts by people calling out sin. As long as we sweep sin under the floor, there will be no revival, saith the Lord. So we must call it the way it is. And I want to challenge all the pastors and preachers everywhere. Ye must come out and lay the axes to the root of the trees. Amen? Well, you know, that's easier said than done when they are, you know, afraid for their wallets. Hello, folks. If you preach too hard, you might scare up your congregation and then your wallet will become smaller. So that's why they don't preach those kind of messages. You know, they don't want to, you know, if you offend them, they won't come to church. They won't give you an offering. You know, that's why those pastors don't preach those things. And they like to come and preach those sweet messages that everybody loves to hear. You know, and so forth like that. Well, that's wonderful. But I tell you something, folks. You know, those that are teachers will receive the greater condemnation if they don't stay with the truth of the word of God. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks.
Amen.
That's right. But I, you know, God said, look, when I tell you that the sinner will perish, and if you don't want the sinner will perish, but I will require his blood off your hands. So I want to be poor. One time he said, I am free of the blood of all men. Well, I want to be free of the blood of this generation. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to call it out the way it is. I want to call a spade. I want to spell it out the way it is. Amen?
Amen.
And if we run anybody off, well, that's somebody that didn't belong here in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord! Amen. I'm not worried about running anybody off. You know, we'll help anybody that, you know, we preach. I preach all kinds of wonderful messages all the time. You know, so if this is your first time here, you may say, well, I don't like this church. Well, go listen to the other messages. This is not the only thing I preach. I don't preach like this all the time. But when God tells me point blank, I want you to go out there and condemn this thing, then I better listen to the Lord. Amen. So I don't, hey, I have to answer to the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I don't care about any offering or anything like that. You know, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And all the pastors in this church, you know, God bless their hearts. You know, they've worked so faithfully, you know, together with me and so forth like that. And we don't do it for money, so nobody can fire us. Amen?
Amen,
amen, people? I met a pastor one time. Yeah, that's right. I met a pastor one time. I went down and preached, I went to the Bahamas one time. A friend of mine was down there. So I was, I was in a conference of pastors and I was preaching. And, after I preached, there's this one pastor, Baptist pastor and so forth from Florida. So he came down and pulled me aside. I said, well, he said, wow, those, you know, that I love that message, but my church. And I said, well, you know, you cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You either choose to serve God or you choose to serve mammon. You pick one or the other. You know, and some of these pastors are afraid because, you know, they want, you know, the tithes and the offerings and so forth. You know, and, you know, so, and even those who are on television, they are constantly asking for money, so they can't really talk about these things. You know, because if you cut too hard, that person is not going to send you a check. You know, so, but I tell you what, folks, you know, the money and all of these things, you know, is not going to redeem their souls. You know, what we people need is this kind of message. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need a message that will purify. Because Jesus said, behold, my fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly purge my floor. He is going to purify the sons of the kingdom. So all you young folks today, you know, when you go to school and you hear of all these things, because he says they were going to teach it. You know, this prophecy said they will teach it in education. They are teaching it already. You know, they will celebrate it. They are celebrating already. You know, there are many states now that legalize, you know, same-sex marriage. That's what they call it. You know, and so forth like that. And in fact, I almost puke every time I hear these things on TV. You know, it's unbelievable. And sometimes I wonder, I say, I don't know, you know, this is a terrible place to raise children. So, parents, you better be telling your children these things. Amen?
Amen.
Don't leave the schools to teach your children.
Amen.
Because they'll send them down to hell quicker than anything else. They'll give them, contraceptives and all these things in school. That's what they pass out anymore in schools. But they will disallow prayer. They will teach these children, you know, how to have safe sex, but they will teach them not to pray. You know, how many of you don't know that, you know, for such things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience? You know, that's this nation. They have taken prayer away from schools, and then they wonder why there's all this violence in the schools. They wonder why people take gun and shoot everybody up. You know, all that time when there was prayer, it was he that letteth that is letting. When the prayer is there, look, I tell you something, folks. In an environment when there is prayer and people praying, so we don't say that there is not going to be evil. There's always going to be evil. In fact, you stir up some devils when you do those things. But, you know, the influence of prayer, the influence of the gospel holds back some of these forces. Amen?
Amen.
But when you take those things out, they now celebrate Halloween. They want every... I want to tell you, all of you are teachers in here, if you are, you know, don't you be a part of that nonsense. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can force you to be a part of that. If they tell you don't preach Jesus in your classroom, then you better don't preach no Halloween either. Amen? Because that is witchcraft. Praise ye the Lord. And there are some Christians that still celebrate Halloween. Hear it from me today. That is witchcraft. That's right. I'm going to tell you that right now. Point blank. You know, so. But, and some of you mess with those things because you really don't know. You don't know that those things are for real. You know, well, those things are real. But the power of God is greater. Amen.
Amen.
One time I went down to the Philippines. No, this was in Tanzania. And we stood on stage with a friend of mine, and we challenged these powers of darkness every single night because they were so thick in that place. In the capital city, Dar es Salaam, we went down to one village there where that was the thick place where they have this Muslim and all these curious acts and witchcraft and everything. And there was this young woman. And she came in the first night. She had a pregnancy. And I was told that she'd been carrying that pregnancy for 11 and a half months. 11 and a half months, folks. And she had had many pregnancies before that, but this was the last one she had. Well, those pregnancies, they were always miscarried. She couldn't have birth. And then the witch doctors and all these things, they told her that this last time, that this one pregnancy that she was now carrying, she would never give birth, and she would not lose the baby, and she would just carry that pregnancy for the rest of her life. Folks, the powers of darkness are real, but the power of Jesus is greater. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise ye the Lord. You know, so this woman, she carried this belly for, you know, 11 and a half months already. She came to prayer, and I said to her, well, you know, you will have this baby before we leave. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I was all about it. I forgot all about it until the last day I was standing. I was waiting to be introduced to teach my meeting that morning to the pastors. And then somebody slipped me a note and said, that woman gave birth this morning. Praise ye the Lord. And that was the last day of the convention, you know, and just like we said, you know, you have this baby before. And I even forgot about it after that until I saw that note, you know, and so forth. And then we turned around and told the people, and many, many souls came to the Lord because of that one miracle. Because they all knew that woman in that village, you know, everybody knew her. 1 year she's been pregnant, you know, and they knew her. You know, and so many people began to come for prayers and so forth like that. And we said, look, the power of God is real, but the power of the devil is real, but the power of God is greater. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Folks, run to Jesus. Amen. There is an onslaught of the power of the devil that is coming upon the nations. Why? Because it is time for the Spirit of God to lift up a standard against him.
Amen.
How many of you can say, praise ye the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. Now, I believe that there should be nobody in this church that is plagued with the sin of homosexuality. Amen?
Amen?
But we have to put this message out, because other people may listen to it and so forth like that. But in case you are wondering about you young people, that is the way to hell, and it's the way to destruction. We've seen it here in the Bible. You know, so you stay away from that and so forth. And not only should you stay away from it, you should reprove those things. Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather rebuke them. You know, so don't participate, don't cover it up, and don't say, well, it's okay, we can't judge anybody and so forth. Well, you know, hey, I'm not judging anybody in particular, but I am calling it like it is. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The spiritual man judges all things, and yet himself is judged of no man. So I brought it out, the word of the Lord here this morning and so forth, and I want you to know that in every nation where God's name is feared, that nation will be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
But any nation that turns against God, that nation will be turned to hell. You know, and because God has so many wonderful believers in this country, this nation, this United States of America, that is the reason why God's mercy is still holding, because of your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to pray, you know, and so forth like that. Look, this is our watch, folks. And I have determined in my heart, just because I know prophecy, because, you know, like this prophecy I read to you, I already knew that it's going to happen. You know, so sometimes, you know, when I try to pray and so forth, I'm reminded that these things will happen because the cup of iniquity must come to the full. But still, I pray. You know, like, you know, I don't want none of these lewd spirits in my neighborhood. Amen? Some of you that have young children and so forth, you don't want any sex offender in your neighborhood. Amen?
Amen?
So you better be on the watch. You better be prayerful and so forth like that. And you need to put on the whole armor of God in this generation. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. And if you believe that I spoke the word of the Lord this morning, you can give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, I am not a political prophet, neither do I care about those things, you know, but we must preach the word of the Lord. And we must speak the word of the Lord. And if you don't like it, well, you take it up with God. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because Paul said, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of the Lord. You know, so I, you know, don't like it, you know, and so forth. But I know the people love the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. You know, and I would love to hear, and I would love a pastor that preached the word of God, don't you?
Yes.
You know, if my pastor didn't preach the word of God, but he danced around the bush, you know, I'd love, give it to me straight. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, the Bible says also, you know, look, never mind, you know, when those people that, you know, preach you the word of God, when sometimes they cut here and there, I say, never mind about it, because they are watching for your souls. Amen.
Amen.
We're doing it because, you know, we love everybody. We want everybody, by all means, you know, to make it to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And if there's anything that's going to hold you back, we want to help you, you know, and get deliverance and so forth. And I've read so many things, you know, I skipped over some things because of time and so forth, but you get the picture. You know, God is standing at the door. The handwriting is on the wall. Praise God. And like Daniel, the people of God must now come forth and interpret that handwriting and tell it to the king. Tell it to the nation. You know what God is about to do. And that's what people of God are not doing. They are not coming out and telling the people that the handwriting is now on the wall. And that's what I've done here this morning. I have told you that the handwriting is now on the wall. And except people repent, the judgment of God will be swift. And it will start at the churches. Because he said, begin at my sanctuary. But on the other hand, I have good news. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We always love to give good news. Amen. And the good news comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. Paul said, according to my gospel, and I've always wondered why he said that. Well, according to my gospel too, Jesus Christ was crucified and died for our sins and arose again for our justification. And he took all these things, the devil and all these things, handwriting of ordinances, all the works of darkness, he triumphed over them, he made an open show of them, and so forth. And when John wept bitterly and said, we could not find anybody to open the book, or to lose the seals, or to even read or look upon it. And the voice said unto him, fear not, or cry not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed. Hallelujah. And being turned, he saw a bloody lamb. Hallelujah. Well, he was looking for a lion, but he saw a bloody lamb. And I want to tell you that the bloody lamb has been slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if there's anybody here today, I'm not going to call you out because this is a sensitive message. And people, you know, do and all those kind of things and so. But I want all heads bowed in this place. Right now. And for anybody who has been confused about these kind of things that are going on in the nation, I don't think that God's judgment is going to be sweet. Well, if you've been a believer and you're condoning those things, well, you are just as guilty as the people that are doing those things. I read that to you in Romans chapter 2 already. So some people need to repent in here this morning. And if you are guilty of any of these things in your heart too, you need to repent. But this nation, and I can't say it loud enough, this whole nation needs to repent. And so we're going to stand in the gap this morning. For this nation. And we're going to stand in the gap for those that are caught in this sin. Because they need deliverance. you know, and so forth. Some of them don't know what they are doing. You know, they need deliverance. Praise ye the Lord. Now let's lift up our hands in this place, all over this place, and let's pray. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to ask the Lord for mercy and forgiveness in because of the sins of the iniquity of the nations and so forth, and all of the lewdness that's going on. That is why judgment is coming. But let's pray and ask God for mercy. Let us pray and ask for God's mercy. Lord, have mercy, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, O Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And I'm reminded by the Spirit of God to tell the people of God that first the church itself must repent. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray, then I will heal their land. You want the Lord to heal this land of this great abomination that is going on, then the church itself must repent. So all over this place, let's begin to ask for God's forgiveness. There are many times that we have not spoken against evil like we should have. Sometimes you may have even denied the faith and denied the Lord. Because you didn't want to lose your friendship with your friends or whatever. I want to let you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if you love the world and the things that are in the world, and all these things that they are saying, the Bible said the love of the Father is not in him, such a person. So all over this place today, let us ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness, Lord. Heal your land, O God. Bring a contrite spirit upon the church and upon the people of God. And I want to pray for all those pastors and preachers out there, especially those that have opportunity. Those that hold the mic on television. That, you know, they have audience of thousands of people. I want to pray that they come out of slumber. Lord Jesus, wake them up. Those that are truly yours. And let them be able to declare the word of God with boldness. And not to be afraid. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, and I know the people of God, Abraham's seed that is groaning. They are in the highways. They are in the byways. They are being oppressed by all this lewdness that we are hearing and seeing every day. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those for whom you died, in Jesus' mighty name. All of our young people and all our young children and so forth, Lord. Father, sanctify their minds with the word of God, for thy word is truth. Father, Lord, let their hearts lean to the word of God and not to the things they see on television. And I pray, Lord, for all the parents. I charge every parent that is here today. The Bible says, this word shall not depart from your mouth, nor from your family. But you will bind it upon your neck. And you put it as a front leg. Just as if you are wearing glasses, you put it on your face. You speak with your children when they are sitting at meal. You speak with them when they are going to bed. You speak with them when you are dropping them off at school. You remind them of these things. I charge every parent to so do this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And I charge every man that is in this place to repair the altar that is in their family. The altar of the Lord that is broken down. You must repair it. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. This is a call to righteousness, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the righteous nation. And the righteous nation that trusts in the Lord, they shall be blessed. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for all the true preachers and all the true ministers, give them boldness to declare the word of God. And give all the saints of God the fuel to for their lamps to continue burning in Jesus' name. Let not your lamps go out, folks. Let your light shine in this wicked and adulterous generation. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. Now, folks, unto you that look for the Lord, shall he appear the second time without sin? Amen. Amen. And I also want to tell you one more thing. that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If there's anybody that is looking for the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus, let me hear you shout, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Lord, put a sevenfold anointing upon your people, that they may be able to stand. And having done all to stand, stand ye therefore, folks, having all your loins girded about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and so forth, the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on your feet, and take the sword of the Spirit, smite through the forces of darkness. Lord Jesus, empower your people to go forth as lights in this world. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together again for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen and amen.